Prime ministers and presidents may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Editions remains.
Quite right too. Weather today, highs of 8 degrees centigrade, lows of 5 degrees centigrade. It'll be a mainly dry day with mist and fog patches. Much like supporting Ipswich Town happens to be these days. Only kidding, Andy Comfort, and we salute you, sir, not only as BBC Humberside's drive time guru extraordinaire, but the fact that you are a man of your word. You said last week, yes, I will come back on again and share the airwaves with Ben Lewis from Brighton. And indeed another Brighton lass, Holly, also from Brighton, amazingly, and from Lincoln City, Eva MacDonald.
I beg the Brighton change.
Who indeed heard that there was a match happening somewhere, and it's even percolated into the Eva MacDonald operatic household. It's wonderful. So how does it feel, Andy? I mean, have share the pain, please. I mean, you know.
Yes. Well, I think I kind of hinted at this last week, didn't I, when I was talking to you, that I was braced for
penalties.
This to happen.
It was going to be penalties. It was going to be Hugh Edwards and penalties, and then it all went
that's
wrong.
That's right. Well, it was looking like that, wasn't it? Hugh Edwards was there in London, wasn't he, tapping his pen on the desk, thinking the news was going to be late, and Look North were worried that they were going to be late on, and then we, I say we switched off. I don't think we switched on. In the whole game, but awful goal to concede, shocking defending, and I had a grandstand view of it, great view, and I was quite close to the goal, and you know, you see something in slow motion, don't you, it all slows down, and you think, well, what's going to happen here is Nathan Arnold's either going to chip the goalkeeper or go round.
Did your life pass in front of your eyes?
Yes, our FA Cup career just passed in front of my eyes. And I thought, here we go, leaving it the third round stage again. For, I think it's the eighth year in a row now, isn't it? So I thought, here we go again. No, I'm absolutely, you know, can't take any away from Lincoln City. You know, they were the better side. They deserved the win. They were well organised. They were a good, strong side, play good football. You can see them getting promoted quite comfortably, can't you? And they just, you know, it's a great night for Lincoln.
So, Ben, very... I mean, you'd expect no less, really, in terms of balance and coherence from that sort of point of view. So he was actually there in the ground, experienced the whole sort of system. Yeah. I thought for a moment Ipswich Town had decided to actually hire temporarily Manchester City's goalkeeper, Bravo, because he was as effective in terms of scoring things. Yeah. But, you know, your thoughts, as were you a TV viewer?
Yeah, I was watching it. I was watching it. I was quite interested to hear your thoughts, Andy. Do you think it was Ipswich playing badly, or do you think Lincoln played well?
I think both, actually. I think Lincoln played very well. They were up for it, weren't they? And obviously, you know, it was a huge game for them to progress through in the FA Cup. And unfortunately, Ipswich weren't up for it. You've got all those cliches that the pundits roll out. You know, are they up for it on a cold Tuesday night in Lincoln? Well, no, they weren't. You know, and they absolutely weren't. And I just thought some of our... I mean, you've got some good players there. And on paper, Ipswich should have won that comfortably. And you look at some of the players we've got, and some were invisible. I think it was a bit of a shock when they took Leon Best off because I think it was a shock to Ipswich fans who didn't realise he was on the pitch. So when he was substituted, you know, he was invisible. And again, you know, he can be a really good, effective player in our midfield. Players like Cole Skuse, who's quite good normally in Boston midfield, he didn't seem to have a great game. And, you know, players that you expect to step up the mark didn't.
Just very sloppy, wasn't it? It was very, I don't know, it just wasn't very... do you think they stooped down to Lincoln's level as such?
In terms of quality
and productiveness, they didn't perform as they usually would.
No, not at all. And I think they were for some reason they seemed surprised, didn't they, by Lincoln? And I mean, it was obviously going to be a physical game, but they really should have stamped their mark on the game. It should say, look, we can play physical as well. We can, you know, you don't scare us. But we seem to be shying away from some challenges. You know, very disappointing having won the previous league game, beating Blackburn at Portman Road. And I didn't see that one, but I'm told that we were very organised in that game and we played well. It looked like we may have turned a corner. And then you get a performance like that. Okay, slightly different team, but you get a performance like that. Very disappointing. Didn't seem to have the heart into it.
Could have been worse, Andy. At least Southampton beat Norwich last night, so you know. It's,
yeah. Oh, shame, mate. Shame. East Anglia's out of the FA Cup.
It's a way forward. So, Holly, yeah. as you're from Brighton, I mean, given that you're the next hurdle that our two former school teachers from Essex, the Cowley brothers, have to actually sort of take on board with the City of Lincoln, are you quietly confident, or would you sort of say, yeah, well, or will you, to quote Ben, stoop down to their level?
Well, I've never really supported Brighton up till now, so yeah. I don't know.
Strange how many people in Lincoln are the same sort of thing. Never heard of Lincoln. So, yeah, it's amazing. Where these 9,000 additional people actually came to support the actual site, it's astounding, really. It's packed house. Maybe it was just fans of Graham Taylor. I mean, see, that's the message, clearly, Andy. And by the way, did you actually illuminate your mobile phone for the 76th minute?
We did actually. Yeah, we joined in with that. It was lovely, wasn't it? And there was the applause before the game as well, which we joined in, and it was a fitting tribute. And you know, I really that 1-0 win, a great win for Lincoln City, was again a fitting tribute, wasn't it, to Graham Taylor? You know, maybe he was looking down on that and thinking, well, you know, there you go, well done, thanks guys.
And he probably never liked Mick McCarthy anyway when he was actually it all sort of comes together. Yes, the last time that Lincoln City reached the fourth round of the FA Cup, of course, 1976. So outstanding stuff there.
Yeah.
And indeed, for Siren FM, kudos and bouquets to Peter, who's been putting together a whole range of wonderful sort of aspects and got some very good pitch side interviews, actually, before, during and after the game with players and staff from Lincoln City. So he did very well, did our Thursday drive time. So Peter, who's been doing a whole range of other bits and pieces. There you go. Do you have a snack draw, Andy?
Do I have a what, sorry?
A snack draw, because apparently 63% of the UK population now have a snack draw in the office to keep them going when stress and workloads are at their peak.
Well, I have in my bag with me now, my little rucksack, I have my packed lunch. And I do, I have that, I put that on my little filing cabinet to the left of my desk, so I do sort of snack on that during the day, yes.
Yeah, it's a snack draw. Well, research conducted by the Almond Board of California has revealed that almost 3 in 10 Brits snack when we're stressed. So lots of consumption for Ipswich Town supporters, obviously, on Tuesday night then.
Mm.
And the board's experts believe that this can sometimes lead to snack amnesia. In other words, subconsciously snacking without any idea of what or how much or even why we're eating. Do you colleagues suffer from this? I mean, you know, if we say to one of our co-founders of Siren, the delightful producer extraordinaire Christine Dexter, does she occasionally have snack amnesia? If you know, you say, Christine, what have you just eaten? I don't know, Andy, she says. Just give us a little insight into the BBC background of this sort of thing here.
Yes, well, I'll ask her. She now works with me on our, well, we don't call it drive time anymore, but our extended programme through the afternoon now from 2:30 till 6. So she produces that now, so she's with me every day. I haven't seen her snacking secretly. I sit opposite her.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's when she bends over sometimes. I thought she was just getting something out of, maybe she's getting something out of the snack drawer.
See,
then. That could be
exactly.
It. Well, I'll have a look today.
This is the message. I mean, we're going to be speaking in a few moments with consultant dietitian Lucy Jones to talk about this phenomenon of snack amnesia that could be impacting in so many ways. And we just thought we'd just sort of work our way through that whole process.
What a shame you can't get football amnesia, isn't it? You know, and I could just pretend maybe that Tuesday night never happened. It was all a bit of a blur, really. Yeah.
Do you have a prediction for the Lincoln City Brighton Hove Albion game, or is
you
it too
to slip
soon
it in,
to
didn't you?
I mean, well, we just had Ian Lennox from Newcastle sort of wishing Lincoln all the best, but you know, what are your thoughts, Andy? Is it okay? Because clearly we'll be follow this trail through right the way to the Arch. It's not quite as exciting as the Twin Towers, but it's the same place. Up to the Arch.
Well, I football's a funny thing, isn't it? I have a feeling that, just a funny feeling that Lincoln would do it again. You know, it's at Central Bank. Just got a funny feeling. I mean, Brighton's priority is to try and get into the Premier League. Mm. Do they want a cup run? Would it distract them from getting promoted?
As well as the FA Vars as well. People have said they're up for that too. They're playing Dover on Friday night. It's very exciting.
Well, you know, the irony is, isn't it? There's a chance that Dover might come and beat Lincoln. You know, there's a chance that, you know, having got put so much energy, mental and physical, into that game on Tuesday night and won it and you know, best night in Lincoln City's history, etc., etc., that suddenly you're not quite, the adrenaline's not quite there on Friday night. So there's a chance, isn't there, Dover Athletic will come and beat them. But I think they'll beat Brighton. I just have a funny feeling that it will be an intense atmosphere again. They'll sell out the ground. It was a fantastic atmosphere on Tuesday night. They can recreate that. Yes, they could beat Brighton.
I'm going to say I think it'll be a draw, and I think Brighton will win the replay. I think that might be the way forward. But then you've got two former...
Alex would only say it because I'm in the studio with him. If I wasn't here, it would be a different opinion, I'm pretty sure.
Ben, you should know from it as your tutor, there's the classic lines that work through that. And when you've got a couple of former PE teachers in charge, as Andy will attest to, you know, I'm waiting for the time where Andy, who was the PE teacher actually, he's more into languages, takes over a football side. In fact, that could be, you could be the choice after Mick McCarthy. Just put that out there, Andy.
To be fair, though, I think from Lincoln's, cup run, and their TV coverage in general, I think the amount of money they'll be earning from this will certainly benefit for them for next year if they, hoping they do get promoted. But I think it's something that would certainly do them a few favours, at least.
Yeah, very much so. I think I heard the figure was at £67,000 just from Tuesday night alone. So I mean, that for a club the size of Lincoln, that's not to be sniffed at, is it?
No,
precisely. Just like snacks, really. You wouldn't sniff those either. Don't go there. No. It's bad imports. Eva, last two questions for Andy, please.
Have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today?
I certainly have. Yes, thank you.
And I'm pleased to say he never once used the phrase, "Well, we can concentrate on the league now."
No, that's true.
that's because we're not concentrating on the league. We're not concentrating at all.
Oh, I don't mind. They're suffering from snack amnesia. Anyway, carry on.
True. Yeah. And will we be hearing again from you soon?
Yes, I'd love to come on again. Thank you.
Exactly. And of course, you can if you're suffering from Andy Comfort withdrawal symptoms, 2:30 to 6 o'clock, BBC Humberside. You can access it through all main lines. As our mini survey has actually been concerned about snack amnesia today, it's fair to say that we weren't quite sure with our colleagues at the BBC in terms of how much they were, snacking. I mean, we felt that producer Christine might have been snacking without necessarily...
Rumoured, yes.
Rumoured, exactly.
We'll leave it at that.
In the studio, as far as we're concerned, Eva, do you snack? Do you have a snack drawer and so on?
No, we don't. Yeah. Over Christmas it's a bit harder because it's Christmas.
Yes.
But no, I normally just have like three full meals.
Three full meals, that's healthy. And Holly?
We were saying that we don't really snack at uni.
Can't afford to. Yeah. Anyway, to address this whole scenario, again, the survey put together by the Almond Board of California, the way in which workers can be educated into how they can optimise their snack drawer for smarter snacking, we're delighted to be able to welcome that ace consultant dietitian. It's Lucy Jones. How are you, Lucy?
Good morning. Very well, thanks. How are you?
Very good indeed. Now, this particular aspect of the drastic repercussions of snack amnesia, literally, I mean, are we talking about goldfish-type Dory memories here, where you just think, you've just eaten another scenario, or is it just a response to stress? Why do we get involved with this whole scenario of having to have a snack drawer? It can't be the best thing to actually do.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Because I think a lot of people share your view there that snacking is a bit of a dirty word and something that's quite negative in our daily diets. And yet this new research shows that almost two-thirds of people in the East Mids are actually relying on a snack drawer to get them through when stress and workloads are at their peak. And, almost a third do admit to snacking when we're stressed. And this is where this whole snack amnesia idea comes from. It's snacks that we weren't really planning, we're not really thinking about. You eat them without really realising. And at the end of the day, you might think, my goodness, actually, if you tot it up, they do all add up. And we do have this real problem in the UK and the whole of the West with our weights and our expanding waistlines, and snacking is clearly playing a role there.
Lucy, clearly from your own background, you studied nutrition and dietetics at London Metropolitan University. You studied at master's level at both the University of York and the University of Manchester. You are the go-to person when it comes to diet and so on. So is this just a variation on grazing? Is this evolution speaking and saying that that's what we naturally do? We graze as opposed to, Eva's just said, 3 full meals a day. What's the best way forward?
Well, in fact, most of us find that we really struggle to just stick to 3 meals a day. We have to remember that we don't typically just eat when we're hungry. We eat for a lot of different reasons. And, you know, this research has really highlighted the role that stress and pressure play in our eating habits. And this is where we need to utilize snacking as an opportunity to both actually maintain our energy levels, maintain our focus, allow us to keep cool, but also to help us meet our nutritional needs. And this is one area where we're not quite getting it right with snacking, because we get quite a lot of calories and quite a lot of fat and perhaps some sugar, but it could be an opportunity to really boost up our mineral intakes, our vitamin intakes, our fibre and protein. And this is where we want people to start paying attention to what's in their snack drawer. And, you know, a daily handful of almonds is one way to do that. It contains 15 essential nutrients. It's got almost a third less calories than we thought it did previously because of the way it's digested. And this means that actually it can be a very positive daily snack for people. Research has even shown it helps to reduce belly fat.
Well, there we are. And we less said about that, the better, one has to say. moving on, I see you obviously work with our friend and colleague Greg Wallace, amongst other things. So mm-hmm. Chris Bavin, etc., helping the nation to save money on the food shop while striving to improve their diets. But perhaps most importantly, working with Jamie Oliver to get to the bottom of the nation's sweet tooth, of course. So, I mean, you mentioned almonds, and I must admit, whenever sort of many people mention almonds, I thought, well, isn't that like the smell of cyanide in almonds? What, are you trying to kill ourselves here? But you'd say no. It's the Almond Board of California, clearly, you know, this survey, it's a healthy lifestyle. It's an approach to take. Would you recommend it to, shall we say, in the studio we have Ben Lewis, we
Morning.
Have Holly, we have Eva. Would you recommend
Hello.
It for their stressful lifestyles?
Certainly, I think everybody needs to pay attention to both their meals and their snacks. I definitely don't want you to be worried about cyanide in almonds. That's not something that has been shown to be an issue. In fact, you know, I think what you need to do is compare it to other snack options out there and really come up with ideas about what can be really helpful to snack on during the day. And nuts and seeds, particularly if you think about almonds, they are the highest in several of the key nutrients of all the nuts. They can play a really valuable role. And if we look at other options, perhaps yogurts and fruits, and we utilise these types of snacks to meet our nutritional needs and to help us actually fill those long gaps. Because a lot of people may have breakfast at 6 or 7 in the morning and then are trying to go through to 1 or 2 before having lunch break. And actually most of us at that point can start getting a bit low blood sugar, a bit hangry, as we call it, because we've gone too long without eating. Your focus starts to drop and your concentration and ability starts to drop as well. So actually snacking there can fuel your day and help you to perform better in work or in studying.
Ben?
Yeah, I mean, I was saying earlier, we were discussing before we went on air, certain things that we might do if we were to snack, particularly being at home at Christmas. I think boredom was one of the biggest things we were thinking of. The fact that sometimes there'd be nothing in the fridge, but you'd still go and check it just because you were bored. Or sometimes you just eat because there's nothing. You know, you might be bored and it's something to keep you occupied. I don't know if that's the case for a lot of other people, but it's one of the things we were thinking about that could certainly trigger snacking as such.
And I think that actually for me there's a real distinction between a planned snack within your daily routine and what I would call boredom eating, which is a type of emotional eating, a kind of comfort response. It's eating for the sake of it rather than in response to a nutritional or a hungry need. And I think learning the distinction between those two things are really important, because snacking needn't be something that we associate with poor eating habits. It can be a really useful part of our day, particularly if it's planned in against meals. But you're absolutely right. We do need to be aware of that sort of grazing thing when we are bored or when we're not really thinking about what we need nutritionally, but more focusing on our emotions.
Holly.
Yeah, definitely. And just like, you know, out of habit, just like, oh, you know, it's time to eat. Or is it? Like, you just
Time to eat. Exactly. It's like,
well, you know, it's a new year, and often we think about our habits at this time of year, and this can be a really good opportunity to have a think about, well, when are you eating in the day? And is that just out of, you know, I'm going to have a cup of tea, and what I normally do at this time is have a biscuit, and start thinking about, well, what could you do then to make a better choice, to make a choice that's actually going to improve your health, perhaps help your waistline, and fuel you better for the day?
And Evie, you've just returned from Cuba. Were the Cubans snacking, or is it a case of they were far too busy working on their cars?
No, actually, well, it was really hard to in Cuba because we go to a hotel called Iberostar, and the food is really nice there, and it's really hard not to eat at lunchtime or at any mealtime.
Holiday foods and hotels, it's a whole new line from that perspective. Listen, let's return to the essence of what we're discussing here with Lucy. Where's the best place, Lucy, to actually go to find out more information about, you know, healthy snack inspirational material, etc.? I mean, clearly, I would say make a beeline to lucyjonesdietitian.co.uk. All sorts of things there. But there are probably other things available, thanks to, of course, our good friends at the California Almond Board.
Yeah, so they do have a website, which is almonds.co.uk, and they have a lot of snacking advice, but also loads of recipes about ways to serve almonds, different combos, so that you can actually keep that snack draw really interesting. And if you want wider health and diet advice, you can also go to the British Dietetic Association website, which is bda.uk.com, and they've got some great food fact sheets as well.
As we begin to approach the Chinese New Year, I think it's an ideal time to actually start saying, think about the snacks and so on. And that question, are you snacky without realising it? Live more in the moment, be present. We can go into all sorts of things, but we have two final questions. Questions for your good self, Lucy. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme this morning?
It's been fantastic and really engaging. Thank you.
Well, and just out of interest, in terms of obviously our good friends at NewsData, have they provided you with snacks to actually see you through this day of contributions and various other bits and pieces? I mean, are there healthy snacks available? Is it a case of you can have a cup of tea, love, and be grateful for it?
I have been very well served, thank you.
Splendid.
My fruit salad and almonds are era of plenty.
So I take it that, Lucy, you might be kind enough to join us again in the not-too-distant future and return?
I'd be delighted to.
A round of applause for Lucy Jones, please. Yay! General good advice as well. Just as long as I stay. Yes, well, that might well be the case, but at the end of the day, as most folk would say, if you want to actually change the conditions of the stress, then, you know, look for a different paradigm and don't settle for Blue Monday. Choose somewhere else to actually go do or indeed take part in, and to actually address the notions of the busiest weekend for booking holidays. We're delighted to be able to welcome a dynamic duo of fantastic individuals. First of all, ace TV psychologist Honey Lancaster-James. Good morning, Honey.
Good morning to you. How are you?
Very well indeed. And the equally wonderful Zoe Towers from Jet 2 Holidays. Good morning, Zoe.
Good morning.
Honey, if we can come to your good self first. We talk about the, you know, we're passing through Blue Monday, the time where Christmas has gone, the holiday season seems to be all over. I suppose you could say if you're the Russian Orthodox persuasion, you could be just about celebrating Christmas, etc. But there are all sorts of other areas and aspects within that. This particular time, you know, maybe we do need to just change our conditions, change our outlook, perhaps.
It's interesting because, you know, you mentioned Blue Monday, but this new research by Jet2 Holidays has found that actually Blue Monday might be a myth, because it turns out that only 6% of us say that we feel blue on Blue Monday, and a quarter say that they don't even know what Blue Monday is. So you're not alone if you've never heard of this.
It was a song by New Order in the 1980s, obviously.
But it's quite possible that there's a real shift here, because I think particularly, you know, after 2016 being a year of less than positive news story, shall we say, the new year seems to have given people a new sort of lease of life. And it seems, according to the research anyway, that we're actually feeling happier, with two-thirds of people feeling upbeat and positive, and the same proportion of people sort of booking a trip. As you said, you know, maybe it's best to sort of get away. And I think quite often at this time of year, it can be a real mood booster to put something in the diary or to shake things up a bit from your usual routine, go and get a bit of sunshine, or at least have something on the horizon to look forward to.
You're certainly absolutely right in terms of actually having that statement. And Zoe, from your own perspective, have you seen change over the years? I mean, is this a new 21st century phenomenon that we're seeing in the second decade now, that people are actually saying, yeah, that winter break is important?
Holidays are always important. We live on a grey, wet island, and escaping to the sun, it's part of what we need. It's part of our psyche now as Brits. You can't take it away. And we're really lucky as well at the number of places that we can fly to from the UK.
I was going to say we should jet to Scarborough, but perhaps we better not say that. You know, it's a different line than that. You're quite right. And clearly one of the other aspects about this, of course, is that there are a number of places in the world that are challenged by the spectre of terrorism and the challenges with respect to that. Does that also impact? Because, I mean, clearly, you know, you want to go on holiday to effectively charge your batteries, not to actually have to deal with global problems.
I mean, global problems. Here at home, we're faced by global problems. There's things going on all the time. So I think it's about putting a perspective on it. If something's going to happen, it could happen anywhere in the world and anywhere at any time. So we shouldn't constrain ourselves with that. Most of the time, 90% of the time, nothing will happen to anyone anywhere. So let's look forward to something and get something booked.
Is it a case, honey, of perhaps the greatest fear is fear itself?
I think it's more a case of the fact that, you know, there's a reason why things make the news, and that's because they're unusual and they stand out. They're a standout event. You've got to remember that in the big scheme of things, millions of people are travelling and visiting places. And I'm a big believer, you know, we were talking earlier, I'm a big believer you've got to live your life and go and do the things that make you happy and fulfilled. And if you are able to take trips and to travel, I think that's a very enriching experience. I think to sort of not do that because maybe something's happened somewhere in the world at some point, that's a real shame. I think, though, that's quite a minority of people, because certainly Jet2's research found that 69% of people will be booking a holiday in January. So that's a very high number of people. Nearly 70% of us are going to book something, and actually 35% will be jetting off somewhere during the month of January. So, you know, it's not stopping people travelling, and I think that's a good thing, because it can be a depressing time of year, the sort of early winter and early part of the year here. And it's important that we get out. You know, we were talking earlier about the kinds of things you can do to sort of lift your mood. And there's only so much you can do at home. Yes, it's important to get out and about every day, make sure you're getting a bit of daylight, not sort of hibernating and staying in, and get a bit of exercise. And lots of people start healthy eating programs in January and things like that. But there's no substitute for getting away and maybe getting a bit of sunshine or just a new environment that can be so uplifting. A change is as good as a rest, they say, don't they?
And Zoe, looking at the destinations, it would seem that the Northern Hemisphere is still very much to the fore here, because we've got Mallorca, we've got Spain, the Canary Islands, even Prague and Budapest and so on. People sort of thinking maybe we should actually check out New Zealand and head off to Australia, because after all, they're in a different sort of seasonal area.
I think it depends when you want to travel. We're very lucky that we're so close to Europe, which offers a great range of destinations in a short flight time. Yes, we've got all these exotic destinations, but you've got to have the time available from work or family life to be able to check out those destinations.
Of course, being close to Europe, there are people who say we are still part of Europe, but let's not go into Brexit discussions in this particular area. But, I mean, looking towards that, is that something which clearly, from the point of view of holidays, people will be thinking more about in terms of, you know, the notion of, shall we say, passports, etc., will possibly be changing as far as European developments are concerned?
I mean, last time we changed passports, it was when your last one expired, you will get a new one. I imagine it will be the same. All of the European destinations that Jet2 and Jet2 Holidays travel to, a significant part of the income for those countries is from British tourists. So even if we go through a Brexit and it's a hard Brexit, those countries will still want our people to travel there because they spend money, they have a good time, they make those destinations in the summer. So,
and Honey, from your own perspective, any particular dream destination which you think, yes, I think it's high time I'm doing this wonderful piece with Jet2 Holidays, it's high time they sent me off to this particular location,
yeah,
where would you like to go?
Let's talk about that. Yeah. Well, it's interesting you should say that because it's my birthday next month, and I'm thinking of going away somewhere. I'm quite a city break kind of girl, so I quite like to go for a long weekend somewhere or something like that. But Zoe was talking about Croatia and saying how wonderful that is, and yeah, so I'm sort of tempted to go somewhere different, actually, that I've not been before. I think I quite like to go to new places, you know, that I've not been to, just to sort of have a look around and see. What do you think, Zoe? Where do you think I'd like?
I definitely think you'd like Croatia because you've got in Croatia that mix of city and beach. Somewhere like Dubrovnik, you've got a beautiful old town, and then you've got the beautiful clear seas. And you're also talking about that you love great food, and the food
is
fantastic.
Yeah, I do. Nice food, a bit of culture, some history. I like all of that. I'm not much for one of... I'm sort of quite fair skinned, so I can't spend too much time in the sun. So I like to get a bit of something to go and see as well as a nice environment as well.
I think, Shirley, it's clearly been sorted. I mean, we have it witnessed, it's on record, it's recorded, it's gone out live, etc. Zoe, you need to ensure that Honey actually has a birthday trip to Croatia. You know, it's done and dusted.
I knew I liked you.
So finally, where's the best place to go to? Is it the Jet2 Holidays website? Would that be the sort of the first stop if people are actually saying, yeah, I've been moved, I've been inspired by both Honey and Zoe to actually talk about and actually more than talk, actually book these things? Would it be a case of go to the Jet2 Holidays website?
Yeah, go to jet2holidays.com or jet2citybreaks.com and you'll find a great range of options there.
It's been fabulous sharing some thoughts with your good selves today. I trust you've had a reasonably interesting aspect yourself. And I look forward to connecting. Probably, actually, I mean, I think, Honey, you need to do a location report with you in Croatia, obviously, in association with
Jet2
Holidays.
Yeah, let's do it
live
from the beach.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll come back and report on how great my holiday was.
Fantastic. Honey Lancaster, James, and Zoe Towers, many thanks indeed. Take care now.
Nice to see you. Thank you.
Hi, this is Chase Masterson, founder of the Pop Culture Hero Coalition, the first ever organization to make a stand against bullying, racism, misogyny, LGBT bullying, cyberbullying, and other forms of hate using pop culture stories that we love. We all love superheroes. Why not be one? Check out our website at www.popcultureherocoalition.org. Follow us on Facebook at Pop Culture Hero Coalition and on Twitter at Superhero IRL. Thanks so much.
Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And Southside Broadcasting.podbean.com.
quite right too. It still resonates even in the 21st century, the joys of holidays and actually booking holidays and sorting things through. But when you've got a family, how do you actually decide where to go? Apparently, 46% of 4 to 11 year olds say that they've been ignored by their parents when they made a suggestion about going on holiday. Two-thirds of 4 to 11 year olds are actually ignored by parents when they made a suggestion whilst on holiday. So to address this key classic element of family challenges, we're delighted to be able to welcome that ace actress extraordinaire and indeed mum of two, the legendary Stephanie Waring. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning. Wow, what a welcome.
Oh, it is only right. Listen, one of our great colleagues, Graham Harper, has directed Hollyoaks. He's also it's important to ensure that it is the Stephanie Waring. Great stuff.
Yes, the Stephanie Waring.
Quite right. So, Stephanie, talk to us about this particular survey that, again, comes from Villa Plus and does suggest that actually, you know, ultimately, some folk are actually saying children, they should be seen but not heard.
You know what, this research actually really surprised me that Villa Plus has conducted, because I had no idea, to be honest, and it's actually made me really think about planning future holidays with my two children. I have a 6 and 11 year old, and this research falls into that category of my
very
situation.
Much so. Yeah.
And I never even thought about planning my holidays that the kids should really have a say. So they should have a say, really, because, you know, as long as there's a pool and there's ice cream and, you know, I'm taking them somewhere that I'm paying for, do you know what I mean? Yeah. They'd be quite happy. And I think my kids probably would be quite happy with just anything, to be honest. But there are obviously other families out there and children who would like to be involved in the decision-making. And like you said, there's 46%, which is quite, you know, it's quite a lot that say that, well, no, actually, I don't, you know, have a say. And if they have a suggestion, it is completely ignored. But there is the 84% that just say that the favourite thing about going on holiday is just spending time with their family.
I thought that was wonderful. I thought that was really heartwarming in so many ways. It's, as long as mum and dad are actually there, it's fine.
Exactly, yeah.
I suppose you could argue that 16% who actually can't stand working with their parents, but it's
true.
Okay.
It's that 16% that's just like, oh.
and equally, ice cream is very much to the fore there. 65% of those 4 to 11-year-olds who were surveyed actually enjoyed eating ice cream every day, I suppose.
You know, that's the thing, because they can get away with it. It's holiday, you know, it cools them down. It keeps them happy. Well, as long as the pool and there's ice cream, then, you know, happy days.
So I take it, Stephanie, you wouldn't necessarily sort of say, let's have an adventurous holiday, and if your children said, Mummy, let's actually go to Alaska.
You see, my kids wouldn't suggest Alaska because they wouldn't even know there's a country called Alaska.
Ah.
You see, this is where the problem, I think, falls, is with this survey. Not there's a problem with the survey. I mean, because the survey's done with 4 to 11-year-olds, I don't think they would have enough knowledge out there of how many countries there are to go to and how many holiday destinations that are available, so to speak, because they are so young. I would find that they would base their holiday making decisions from where they've been before. So say you took your, you know, 6-year-old and, you know, 8-year-old to Spain, and you go, where would you want to go on holiday this year? They'll just go Spain, because that's all they know. You know, so I mean, for me, this is what I used to do when I was little. I used to go to the travel agents and just get loads of different brochures of loads of different places, and I just used to look and like, oh, that, you know, oh, that place looks amazing, this place and that place. And I would go to my parents and go, I really want to go to Disney World. Well, obviously, you know, you always want to go to Disney World as a kid. And we ended up going to Disney World, so I was listened to.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's the same thing. I feel like if you can say to your kids, and which I will be doing, is getting a load of brochures of a few different places, say, look, kids, have a look through there, and we can make this decision together. You know,
I suppose, you know, we could actually argue what we need is a theme park so we can actually have Hollyoaks Land and people could actually travel there from all over the country.
That would be amazing. Hollyoaks Land. Well, you can go on the Cindy ride.
Exactly. Write it down, sort it through. It could be a whole new routine. But you mentioned obviously Disney, and clearly that's one of the areas that, you know, folk will actually sort of have some sort of sense of, are they going Euro Disney? Are they going Disneyland? Are they going to various other areas? It's kind of partly a way, presumably, of actually giving your children the opportunity to have a say, or to at least feel as though they're having a say, rather than sort of saying, look, it's all very well, just be quiet now, Mummy knows best.
Exactly, yeah. I think if they're involved in at some point, obviously the ultimate decision goes to the parents, obviously, of where, you know, where the family goes.
But it's nice for them to feel included. And if, you know, if they see somewhere with a pool and it's got great stuff for kids, and I think it's important that if you are booking a family holiday, you don't just cater it for the parents. You know, you have to make sure that there's facilities there for children to keep them entertained and make sure they have a good holiday too.
I sense clearly, Stephanie, that the pool is a vitally important part of the Waring family household when
you know
you're sort of considering.
Even now, as a much older lady.
No. Stephanie, experientially enhanced or chronologically gifted. We don't mention the O word.
No, we don't. I like those descriptions. It's about the pool, because the pool gives a good indication to what the hotel or villa or, you know, apartment's going to be. So if you've got a nice big pool, you generally know that it's going to be a really good hotel. Yeah. And that's what I used to do when I was little, you know, when I'd look at the pool and go, wow, look at that pool, can we go there?
That clearly is one of the sort of Villa Plus hallmark categorisations. You don't want to go to an area where the pool looks as though it got a lot of leaves in from last autumn and has never actually been cleaned out. It's important from that point of view. So ice cream, the pool, those are sort of done deals from that perspective. In terms of adventurous holidays, I mean, would you, if when you got those brochures, would you have a sort of selective notion if somebody actually turned around and say, yes, I'd really like to go to Tibet, would that be an option?
No. You know what, I'm not very adventurous when it comes to holidays, you know, I'm not that sort of mum. I do like to, you know, I work really hard and I really like to relax when I go on holiday, and it's, you do have to keep the kids entertained, that's a no-brainer. But it's a holiday for you too, I just want to go climbing up trees and things like that.
I was going to say, Stephanie, if the call came in from either Ewan McGregor or possibly Jeremy Clarkson to actually sort of take part in a global thing and say, what this next series needs is more Stephanie Waring, would you say, oh, I don't know, is there a pool? It's a thought, you know.
I think about it.
Stephanie, it's been fantastic touching base with yourself. A reminder, people want to actually find out more about this survey, presumably they're just check out the Villa Plus website.
Yeah, so the website is www.villaplus.com.
Excellent. It's been an absolute delight sharing some thoughts with your good self. Again, fascinating from that point of view. Presumably, if we actually were to survey 12-year-olds, or indeed possibly 3-year-olds, I mean, they could actually make some sort of response from that sort of point of view. You might have a similar situation. We don't know.
It's
the joys of surveys and statistics, really, from that point of view.
Yeah.
And clearly that missing 16% who clearly don't have the favourite thing about going on holiday being spending time with their family. We need to investigate that as well. But Stephanie,
have you
had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this morning?
I have. It's been an absolute pleasure.
In which case, hopefully, if we set to work on actually getting the Hollyoaks Land theme park put together, who knows, maybe we'll speak again as the time proceeds.
Yes, keep me posted.
Take care.
Hurrah, there we are. Stephanie talking about holidays, and indeed Honey Lancaster James also talking about holidays. Stephanie Waring, of course, ace actress from Hollyoaks. Time now.
Ben Lewis. Probably the best reason to visit Brighton there's ever been.
Precisely. This is Ben Lewis time, or to be precise, coming up to 13 minutes, and it's just past 13 minutes to 10 o'clock. Ava, you've been back in Britain for how long now since you were in Cuba?
We came back on the 28th.
Of December.
December,
right.
Yeah.
And you've been here ever since.
Yeah, and that's about 2 weeks, three weeks.
Three weeks. So have you, I mean, did you, what memories did you bring back with you from Cuba?
It was hot. And there were lots of cigars. And we spent a lot of time on the beach. We did go around and see Cuba, and we went on like a little tour on one of the days, which was quite nice. I wouldn't obviously live there, because it's just, it's a place, I think, that you'd have to visit and look at. It's not really...
You wouldn't bring yourself down to the Cuban level
and
in some ways bring themselves down to...
It's a place to visit and look at and admire.
All right. And what about the advent of Castro? Or now, obviously, he's passed away. Was there still sort of Castro on there? And were all the cars genuinely 1950s classic American
style? They were in the place we went to. We went to Havana during the tour. And there were a lot of old-fashioned cars there, so again, it's a good place for photography. My sister does photography for GCSE, and so she got a lot of photograph opportunities.
Ben, have you ever been to the excitement of Cuba?
No, I'd actually really like to go. Especially, I don't know, I've got a quite deep interest in cars, so I think that'd be quite a fascinating thing to see. Mm-hmm. But I think in general, I think it's a lovely place. You know, very nice weather on the whole, and very different, very unique.
Going back to the line that we're talking about with Honey Lancaster James and indeed Stephanie Waring about making the decision, who makes the decision in the Lewis family in terms of where do you go for family holidays? I mean, presumably, Ben, you'll get the stage now where you, well, I go on my own now these days. But
I have done.
Yeah, in terms of family holidays, who sort of has the final casting?
Mother.
Right.
She's kind of the sort of the person in charge of most decisions in the house, I think. It's tend to be her who has to make the final ruling.
Echo in the McDonald household, or are you a democracy?
It's more Mum's boyfriend because he normally pays for all of it.
In my house, it's Dad who earns the money and Mum who spends the money. That's what it is. I think about the same.
And there we are.
Most
social
households.
Gathering in the whole world carries its own way. Here's Barry. Barry's having problems. Oh, he's all right now. It's just his age. I'm sorry, Mr. Manlow. Don't call us. We'll call you. It might be the hottest spot north of Havana, but the Copacabana with Lola. Clearly having one or two challenges now. Oh, I don't know. One more minute. All right, then. So does it take you back, Eva? You know, the magic of a Copacabana, hottest spot north of Havana. Is it the, you know, did you encounter Lola? Yes.
Yeah, it does. There are a lot of songs like this.
Exactly. It's the summer sound. It's the inspirational sound on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. And Ben, not really a Barry Manilow fan, really.
No. I think I'll leave that to Eva.
Eva, fantastic. Okay, thanks on the show today to Gabriella Peralta from Gibraltar, Richard Fitzwilliams from London. Thanks, of course, to our ace veterinary people, Dr. Sean Wensley from the PDSA, and colleagues talking about the joys of vets on pets, from their own sort of system of how to keep your weight under as far as pets are concerned. Thanks to Ian Lennox, Andy Comfort, and our wonderful nutritional expert as well. Whose name was what, Ben? Who was our wonderful nutritional expert?
Lucy Jones.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I was just paying attention to that point of view. And Honey Lancaster Jones and Stephanie Waring and you, dear listener, for being part of the whole production. Thanks to Holly, who wasn't rude. She just had to go off to a an academic thing.
Yes.
Basically, she's off to her class.
Lecture.
So exactly. So we had to sort of work through that process. Eva, have you enjoyed being back on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition?
I have.
Excellent. Ben, ready for next week again?
Indeed. All yes, we are.
We may have the return of William Sitwell then. So who knows what could be happening there? As interesting. Far as that's to take us up to the news, let me see. A little bit of Little Mix, maybe a teeny bit.
Oh,
yes.
Little Mix.
Exactly.
I think Eva's decided that one for us.
Shout out to my ex, Papua New Guinea, Future Sound of London, Things We Said Today, The Beatles, and then Charlie XCX, followed by Bob Dylan. That'll be the news. That's us out of the Midweek Driving Audition. Sorry, Eva, the last little bit of Little Mix. I'm sort of heading off now. They've only got a few seconds to go. So
we heard them a little bit.
Well, that's
exactly, ironically. A little bit for
a little bit of snack scenario from that particular perspective. Don't forget, you can reach us anytime on studio@sirenonline.co.uk. Sirenonline.co.uk is the website. We continue, everyone. It's time for us to say bye-bye. So 1, 2, 3.
Bye-bye.